Mysterious-ish.
Contains graphic and explicit content. Listener discretion is advised.
Mercury is in Gatorade again. I fucking hate it here.
And the storm's about to be storming.
Oh yeah, we're supposed to get some tornadoes tonight.
Some lemonaders.
I really fucking hope not. I have, like, since the tornado that hit, I have less than no faith in our, like, quote-unquote bubble that we have in our town. I have no faith in it. None. I'm really hoping that my, brick shit house holds.
Yeah, be all right.
Everything's fine, and I hope the tree in the front of my house does not collapse on my house. I should probably put some protection crystals around, but, you know. Yeah. After this, I'm gonna manically prepare my basement just in case.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Oh, anyways, how are you doing this Mercury retrograde day two?
That's okay.
Are you as fucking tired as the whole rest of the planet?
Probably.
Yeah, everything's great. I thought for sure that it was like just the weather, like just dreary. But no, I think it's Mercury. I think that bitch is making me tired all over again.
Gosh bless.
Fucking planets. Man, I've already talked about protection crystals and Mercury retrograde affecting me. Could I get any more woo-woo?
Woo-woo?
And lol. No! Listen, one of the April Fool's Day pranks that I saw yesterday.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Warp Tour.
Oh, no.
Them bitches. It was one hell of a fucking lineup, too. Oh, it was like, My Chemical Romance, Bring Me the Horizon, Fallout Boy, Falling in Reverse, Blink 182.
Oh, my God.
Like, all these fucking bands. The only thing that would have made it better if they would have put, like, Nirvana.
Oh, my God, yeah. See how long that it takes everybody.
That would have really sealed the April Fool's thing. Because they put a bunch of bands on there that are, like, still performing. Right. Obviously, My Chemical Romance is, like, sort of, kind of still performing a little bit. I don't fucking know. But it said, it had, like, the picture of the lineup in, like, Warped Tour 2024. And then it said, make sure to use promo code April Fools 2024 at checkout. And I was like, what? Fuck! Listen. If Bring Me the Horizon, if they brought back Warped Tour and Bring Me the Horizon were going to be at that Warped Tour, I would be there so fast. Same. Even though the only Warped Tour I've ever been to was fucking horrible.
I never got the chance to go to Warped Tour and I was so sad.
Yeah, it is an experience every emo should have, but
nobody wanted to go with me.
I would have gone with you if you had asked me before I went the first time. Because the first time I went was fucking, it was so horrible. It was so hot, like unbelievably fucking hot. Erica, what's the weirdest place you've ever had sweat form?
I mean,
my shins.
Yes, shins.
My shins were sweating.
Wow.
I was in the shortest shorts and the skimpiest racer back tank top.
Mm-hmm.
It was like paper thin. I do not understand how I was sweating so bad. Also, my aunt almost punched someone in the face during a mosh pit, so that was pretty fun. That was fun. But I didn't. Fact, same. We were like on the outside of the mosh pit, like we were the outer layer of the mosh pit. I don't fuck with mosh pits. I'm small. I can't defend myself, so I don't fuck with mosh pits. Y'all have fun, but I'm going to be back here. Oh, shit. Anyways. Erica, what are you telling me about?
I'm going to be talking about the Branch Davidians.
When you asked me if you could do this one, I was like, have fun. Have a fucking blast, because I know this one and it's a massive undertaking. So, shall we?
So, as we like to know, I like to go into the early history of things. So, this story starts in 1929. We're going back. With a man named Victor Hautif, maybe? I don't know. He was a Seventh-day Adventist Sabbath school teacher from Southern California. Victor claimed that he had a new message for the whole Adventist church.
Okay.
But the church rejected him because his beliefs were not the same as theirs.
I was just mid-drink of water, so if you hear me snorting into my water bottle, I'm so sorry. That was funny. So we already have like levels of grandiosity and rejection.
In 1934, Victor established a headquarters near Waco, Texas, and him and his followers soon became known as the Davidians. So at this point, he already had a few followers, which, wild. I don't know why or how, but he did. In 1942, Victor renamed the group to General Association of Davidian Seventh-day Adventists.
Gosh. Jesus Christ. Can y'all chill with the words? Like, right? Cults should not be long-ass names.
Right.
Stop. Churches should not be long-ass names. Stop.
Right.
Three words. That's your max.
That's all you get.
Fact.
In 1955, Victor passed away. And, of course, his wife took over the group. Oh, boy. And she believed herself to be a prophet.
Oh, fucking Christ.
She was convinced that the apocalypse would occur in 1959, and this date was not found in her husband's original writing, so Victor's wife and her council gathered the following at the Mount Carmel Center near Waco for the fulfillment of the prophecy, which is written in Ezekiel 9. I tried looking that up, but I cannot make sense of it. I am so sorry.
No, bro. Bible makes no sense.
So, you know, the time came and it went, and apparently this was a disappointment.
Hello, yeah. You wanted to die? I'm confusion.
This was a disappointment because Benjamin Rodden formed another group called the Branch Davidians.
Jesus fucking Christ, here we go.
And soon he became the leader at Mount Carmel. So, Benjamin passed away in 1978.
How long after making the Branch Davidians was this?
It didn't say.
Oh, jeez.
But.
Okay, bye. Yeah,
right. So, the group was then torn between making Ben's wife, Lois, or his son, George, the new leader of them. But,
okay, well. Mm-hmm. We know how that's going to go because she's a woman.
Well, Lois passed away soon after that.
Shit, I feel bad now. Sorry, Lois. Oh, shit. I was just thinking that it was the 70s and people were so sexist.
Right.
Oh, no.
So the leadership was given to George, but less than a year later, a man by the name of Vernon Howell came into power and took over the group.
Okay. Bye, George. What the fuck? Oh, bye, George. Bye. Sorry, I'm done.
Bye, George.
You just keep going.
Vernon came to Mount Carmel in 1981. It was welcomed with open arms by the Branch Davidians. So, Vernon actually had an affair with Lois before she passed.
Bruh.
And she was also well into her 60s while homie was in his early 20s.
Nah, girl, you get it. Fuck that guy. You fucking get it.
And Vernon actually wanted to have a child with Lois.
She's 60.
Because, because he thought that their child would be the chosen one.
Oh my fucking, there is so much like grandiosity, so much narcissism in these people. I cannot.
So George and Vernon butted heads at first because when Lois passed, the leadership went to him. And so the boys got power hungry. But Vernon seemed to have gained majority of the Davidians, most of their loyalty and such. Okay, so in 1984, Vernon and his followers left Mount Carmel, right?
Okay.
And so, but George and his followers stayed at Mount Carmel, but they soon renamed it to Roddenville. I don't know how to say his last name, but.
Okay, so now there's two different factions of this.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So this power-hungry, stupid thing got even crazier, and George wanted to regain, the support, back from his other ones that left. And so trigger warning, everyone. So Georgie boy was not done, of course. So he challenged Vernon to resurrection.
Hold on. Mm-hmm. One more time? What the fuck?
So George challenged Vernon to resurrection, to see if one of them could resurrect somebody.
So not themselves. They're not going to try to resurrect themselves. They're going to kill somebody else and try to resurrect them, or try to resurrect somebody who died of natural causes.
Well, George went as far as exhuming a corpse of a 20-year-old deceased body of an
ex-Davidian. Jesus.
Mind you. Yes. Okay. Demonstrate his spiritual supremacy, as it says. Also, apparently George did deny that. Apparently he didn't do that. I don't know. But...
okay, well, a lot of these people deny a lot of shit, and that mm-hmm. doesn't mean that they didn't do it.
Right.
They're just trying to save face and make themselves look a little bit better. That is fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
That poor person who got fucking unburied, who got exhumed. What are you doing?
So this illegal activity gave Vernon an idea to file charges against George. But Vernon was told that he would need more evidence. So nothing came out of it.
The body? Hello?
See,
what do you mean more evidence?
So what if it actually didn't happen? Because what if, you know, because that is a good point. He could have used the body. He could be officer right there.
Hello? Do you see the grave that is dug up and the corpse that is here? Evidence. What more?
So November 3rd of 1987, Vernon and his 7 followers raided Mount Carmel. And so 5 of the members carried 223 caliber semi-automatic rifles, and 2 of them had 22 caliber rifles, and 2 of them had 12 gauge shotguns. So they weren't freaking messing around, because they also had.
I do know that a 12 gauge shotgun is no bueno. Mm-hmm. That is all I know.
And they had about 400 rounds of ammunition with them.
Jesus Christ.
They wanted to retake Mount Carmel.
My gosh. Have opinions on allowing people to have that much ammunition and that many guns, but we're not going there.
Mm-mm.
Is it storming where you are?
I don't hear anything right now.
It just started raining and it's been thundering.
Yeah, I don't hear anything. I can't tell if it's raining. I got the curtain shut.
Oh.
And I can't hear it, so if it is.
If it's not right now, it probably will be soon.
Probably. So they all did go to court because of this, and the jury found Vernon's followers not guilty, but they didn't come to a verdict on Vernon himself, which is weird.
Wait, how did that happen? Did they all have separate trials?
I don't know.
I wonder if it was, but that doesn't make sense. I was going to say, I wonder if it was a Manson family situation where Charles Manson was the, where Charles Manson was the leader, but mm-hmm. he didn't tell anybody to go, but he was still convicted. Okay, whatever.
I don't know.
But, different juries have different opinions.
True. When court was over, Vernon actually invited the prosecutors to Mount Carmel for ice cream.
No. Oh, he's getting buddy-buddy with the prosecutors. You can't do that. That is a conflict of interest. Those prosecutors should be disbarred. That's illegal fuck. Okay. No. Canoodling, philandering with the fucking defendants in your cases. Hello?
Oh, I think I hear the rain now.
Nope. Here comes the rain. Doo-doo-doo-doo.
So soon Vernon got the leadership of the group and soon renamed himself to David Koresh. Is it Koresh?
It's Koresh. I forgot. Why did he pick that name, are you going to say?
Yeah.
Okay, thank God, because I've never understood.
He picked this name because he believed he has biblical ties to King David and Cyrus the Great. So Koresh is the Hebrew version of Cyrus.
Oh my fucking God.
So yeah.
There it is. There's the grandiosity. We have it right here, folks.
We got it. David wanted to create a new lineage of world leaders. Later, there were allegations that David was committing child abuse, which caused which caused the siege by the ATF.
Sweet.
Yeah. So in 1993, when the siege happened, David encouraged his followers to think of themselves as students of the Seven Seals and not the Branch Davidians. Don't know why.
What? Students of the Seven Seals? Yes. What the fuck does that mean?
I don't know.
Okay.
Some more trigger warnings. February 28th, 1993, at about 4:20 a.m., the AFT attempted to carry out a search warrant relating to alleged sexual charges and illegal weapon violations. Mm-hmm. So I did watch part of the Waco thing on Netflix.
Right.
So apparently, because when I was doing my actual research, it didn't tell me any of this. So apparently, like any other cult, the husbands could not sleep with their wives. Only David could. And then there was mentions of child abuse. And apparently, this guy said, I don't know, this seems a little excessive, but apparently they had 1.6 rounds of ammunition in this Mount Carmel place. And
wait, do you mean 1.6 million? You just said 1.6 rounds.
Oh, my bad. 1.6 million rounds. Sorry. I was probably looking at rounds. No, it's okay.
I just wanted to clarify. I was confused. I was like, they only had less than 2 bullets? What?
I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
And apparently they were manufacturing machine guns.
In the warehouse they were staying in?
Yeah. Apparently. I don't know. Maybe I should have watched more of the show for it to tell me, but.
Okay, well, it's also a fictionalized show, so.
Right, but, like, I feel like, I also wonder if he was doing, like, making them do that, because apparently, like, I don't know if I actually talk about it in my script, but apparently, like, David put it into their heads, if I remember right, that it was mostly, like, the government. Like, the government was going to come after them and cause the apocalypse or something like that.
Oh, probably. It wouldn't surprise me.
And so, well, why not have machine guns, I guess? I mean,
God. How does one go about getting the machinery to manufacture machine guns?
No kidding. Where
the fuck did that come from? You didn't just build those machines. How did you get them?
Right.
Jesus. Whew, okay.
The AFT tried to take over the compound for about 2 hours until their ammunition ran low. Okay. 4 agents were killed while 16 other agents were injured. Yes, sadly.
Shit.
5 Branch Davidians were killed around 9:45 a.m. And it continued on for another 6 more hours After the raid, the agents were able to contact David and his followers, and the FBI swooped in and released 19 children, but like without the parents, and they were interviewed by the FBI and Texas Rangers. And then
why are they okay? I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm confused why they're interviewing them.
The children.
Are they asking? Yeah. Are they asking like layout of the building? Like, are they going to swarm this bitch or?
I just kind of like, what's going on? Are you okay? Like,
yeah.
I just figured
okay.
towards there. I don't know.
I hope so, because these children are victims themselves. Don't, you know, traumatize them further.
Right. Right. And then on April 19th, 1993, the FBI moved in for one final siege of the compound using large weapons like 50 caliber rifles and armored combat engineering vehicles. The FBI tried to use tear gas to lure out the Davidians, and the agents were not allowed to open fire unless the compound did. And soon the Davidians did open fire, so the FBI increased the tear gas usage. And around noon at the same time, three different fires started in three different parts of the building. And they were, of course, started by the Davidians.
Oh, I thought they were started by, like, the tear gas or something. Mm-mm. I was like, no, they did not start fires.
Some of the Branch Davidian survivors said that the fires were started on accident, while others say that it was on purpose. And there were 85 Davidians. And the day of the siege, 76 of them passed away in many different ways on April 19th. But this whole siege lasted 51 days.
50? What?
51 days.
Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
When did it start?
February. It was February 28th.
Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So the remaining survivors were charged with aiding and abetting and murder of federal officers, unlawful possession and use of various firearms. The Davidians were sentenced, and let's see, 8 of them were convicted with firearm charges, and 5 of them were convicted of voluntary manslaughter. Oh, and then I guess 4 of them got, like, all of the charges.
So did... never mind, you're probably going to go over it, sorry.
No, ask your question, because I'm probably not.
Did Koresh make it out then?
No, he died that April 19th, that day.
Okay.
So he was not one of them that made it out.
Okay. Well, that kind of sucks. I kind of would have liked to have seen him pay for what he did, especially if he was, like, abusing children.
Mm-hmm. In July of 2007, the remaining Davidians were released from prison. So...
July of what?
2007.
So they served how long?
From 93 to 2007, I guess.
Not even... I'm sorry. They were manufacturing machine guns. They were making them with their fucking hands illegally. And they served not quite 15 years. No. No. But there are people who were arrested and imprisoned for smoking marijuana for longer than that. What the fuck? They literally... I can't. Some of them were in there for murder. Like, murder and manslaughter. And they were only in there for 15... I'm gonna scream. Oh, I hate our justice system. It makes zero fucking sense. Not a fucking... No sense. None. I'm so mad.
That's pretty much it. But I do have a fun fact.
Uh-oh.
So, David had a 68 Camaro at Mount Carmel, and it was, of course, damaged because of the raid.
Right.
But in 2004, it was auctioned off and sold for $37,000, and guess who bought it?
Oh, fucking Christ. Was it like Nicolas Cage or something stupid?
We talked about him all the time last season.
No, he fucking did not. Zachary Alexander Bagans. Sir, put it back. What the fuck? Why didn't I know that? Of course. Is it in his museum?
Oh, probably. I don't know. I didn't say.
Oh.
I just like happened to read it and I was like, of fucking course he does. Why wouldn't he?
Did I mention, I know I brought up Nicolas Cage. I did talk about how he bought the one of the houses that I covered last season. I think it was the Delphine house. Delphine LaLaurie. Yeah, Nicolas Cage bought the Delphine LaLaurie or another haunted house. But it was in New Orleans, I remember, because that's what basically bankrupted him.
Oh, fuck.
So, yeah. No, it doesn't honestly surprise me that Zach Bagans bought that. I thought you were going to tell me that it was in, like, the Alcatraz Museum in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, because it has, like, it has, I think it has Ted Bundy's car, which is fucked up. Oh, but yep. Anyways, I'm not at all surprised that fucking Zach Bagans has it. I will tell you that if I ever have the opportunity to go to his museum, I will go. 1,000%. Sure. I will not, however, touch anything, sit on anything, or go in the doll room. Also, so if listeners, if you, sorry, this is totally irrelevant to this season, but it's fine. In 2020, when, you know, quarantine happened, Zach Bagans and his team quarantined themselves in his museum. And there are like 3 or 4 fucking amazing episodes of Ghost Adventures Quarantine. I don't know what they're on, but they are so fucking good. They're actually kind of horrifying. And you get to, it's a good, like, look. He opens the Dybbuk box.
No.
Yeah. You shouldn't do that, by the way. if you ever come across a Dybbuk box, don't open it, and don't burn it, and don't cause any harm to it. Just
no.
Leave it.
Leave it alone.
Do like a sign of the cross, say a couple prayers, and walk the fuck away.
Hope for the best.
Yeah, for real. But yeah, so Ghost Adventures Quarantine. If you haven't watched them, you should. Erica, I'll definitely let you know what they're on, because I think I watched them on Discovery Plus, I want to say, but I don't actually remember. But it's fine. Anyways, any chance I can rag on Zach Bagans. Oh, shit. There was a lot of that I did not know about the Branch Davidians. Like, I feel like this always happens. Like, I feel like I know a story and then you hit me with all these details and I'm like, I knew none of that. Not a fucking nothing.
See, I love that. Because I do too. Sometimes I'm like, well, she knows about it. So, like, what can I tell her?
Okay, well, here's the thing. I listen to so many true crime podcasts that I know so many of these stories, even like with cryptids and the paranormal shit because of And That's Why We Drink. Like, I know a lot of those, but that does not mean that I actually remember them.
Right. No, I get it.
Because I have the memory of like a fucking goldfish. So
they have a 10-second memory.
Yeah. So, you know, everything's great. How is doing the research, what was your most shocking, like, how was that?
So the most shocking thing was the 51-day siege. Honestly, when I was doing my research, nobody take this out of context. When I was doing the research, after I read everything, I was like, what did this man do to become a cult? Because it wasn't telling me what he was doing, like, inside. All I kept getting was, like, the back history of how, like, the Davidians came to. And then everybody just talked about the siege. But nobody was telling me what was going on inside, like, Mount Carmel. Like, what he was doing in anything. Like, I didn't know about, like, the abuse or, like, anything else until I watched part of Waco.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of stories, because it'll be the same way when I cover People's Temple, which that's coming, but not anytime soon, because your girl doesn't have the energy or the mental capacity to listen to anything Jim Jones has to say. But like, I feel like they do that a lot. They talk about the birth of cults, and then you miss the whole middle bit, and then you just get to the ending. Like, everyone knows what happens at the end of the Branch Davidians. Everyone knows what happens at the end of People's Temple. Everyone knows what happened at the end of the one you did last time, Heaven's Gate. Like, everyone knows the ending, but nobody knows especially the middle part. It's just
right.
Nobody knows. Mm-hmm. Nobody talks about it. So, yeah, I don't honestly know, but obviously if someone is a cult leader, they are obviously manipulative and mm-hmm. all the other things that we talked about in our psychology episode.
Yes.
So, yeah, that I think the most shocking fact to me was, first of all, their jail sentences or fucking lack thereof.
Oh, yeah.
And the machine guns, because I did not know they were manufacturing machine guns.
That was the machine guns. That's wild to me. Yeah, out of everything, machine guns.
Yeah, no like, shit.
Bruh.
I can't. Anyways, that was a really good episode. Thank you for telling me that. And I'm sorry that you had to research it.
Oh, it's okay.
Oh, shit. Alrighty, listeners. Well, we'll be back at you next week with something probably equally heavy. Sorry about it. Bye.
Bye. Oh, goodbye forever.
I was going to say, that's not how you do it.
Thank you for listening to Mysterious-ish. All episodes are available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or your favorite podcast directory. Follow us on social media at Mysterious-ish Pod. If you have topic suggestions, questions, or stories to share, you can email us at mysteriousishpod@gmail.com or visit our website at mysteriousishpod.com. Make sure to come back next week for another discussion about the mysteries of the universe.